what may be the most interesting Trump meeting yet. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. Later today, President Trump hosts German Chancellor Angela Merkel at the White House. There are many hot topics to cover, from immigration to Russia. The leaders also have sharp differences on important issues involving business and trade. Let's explore that with Ulf Ruhler. He is Washington Bureau Chief for German broadcaster ZDF. Good morning, Ulf.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Mark.
So Trump and his team have attacked Germany over its massive trade surplus with America, attacked the tax system in Europe, accused Germany of using the EU and the weak currency to get its way. These messages, how are they going over with German business and political leaders?
I mean, I think the German business and political leaders are really scared about Donald Trump because they have the feeling that Donald Trump is not only threatening the German economy, so they have the feeling he might put some tariffs on German products, which would harm their business model.
And so when the conversation turns to trade and business topics between Trump and Merkel, what do you think Merkel is going to emphasize in terms of what's important to her country?
Our chancellor is coming to the United States to really explain how important it is, not only from the German perspective, also from the American perspective. She's coming there with two big CEOs from German companies. One is the CEO from BMW and the other is the CEO from Siemens. And what she's trying to explain him with these two guys is these two companies create a lot of blue-collar jobs, especially a lot of jobs, maybe people who have voted for Donald Trump. So what she's trying to tell him is, if you start to harm the German economy, if you start to harm Siemens and BMW, you basically harm yourself and your interests.
If you look across Europe in the various elections and referendums that have happened, there is a wave of people who are questioning the European Union. How does that play out for Merkel when she is a strong supporter of the EU?
Since World War II, it was crystal clear for every American president from the perspective of the Germans that a strong European Union, which is unified, is also in the interest of the American society and of the American foreign policy. For the first time, there is a president in the White House who believes maybe a weak European Union is a good thing because I can get deals with each single country, and that's maybe a benefit for America. So Angela Merkel is really trying to convince him that a strong and unified European Union is in the interest of the United States. If she will be successful, I think we just know in a couple of months.
Okay, Ulf Ruhler with German broadcaster ZDF. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
A new report from the International Energy Agency says global CO2 emissions stayed flat for the third year in a row. That is prompting some optimism that efforts to slow greenhouse gas emissions are having an impact. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more.
One key encouraging point about the plateau in emissions is that it comes during a period of global economic growth. Policymakers often worry that efforts to limit emissions will slow growth. That's because greenhouse gases come from burning fossil fuels and agricultural production. The International Energy Agency says the biggest decrease came from the U.S., which saw a 3% drop in CO2 emissions due to cheaper natural gas and renewable energy displacing coal. Last year, emissions in the U.S. were at their lowest level since 1992. The agency says it's too soon to say that global emissions have peaked. It will need a few more years of data for that. But the report says even a plateau isn't enough to stop climate change. It would take a sharp decrease in emissions to slow global warming.
Marketplace's Kimberly Adams, and let's do the numbers. Stocks are somewhat mixed in global trading. In the UK, shares are up 0.2%. In Germany, they're down just a hair, not even 0.1%. In France, shares up 0.2%. And Asian markets closed mixed. Disney's new live-action Beauty and the Beast is now in theaters. It has already set a record for advanced ticket sales of a family movie, and it could be one of the top March openings in history. Marketplace's Adrian Hill looks at what those pre-sale numbers can and cannot predict about a movie's box office fortune.
Based on pre-sales, we know the new Beauty and the Beast, which cost an estimated $160 million to make, is going to pull in big money over the next few days.
We're projecting right now anywhere between $120 to $130 million for opening weekend alone.
That's Chris Witherspoon from Fandango, which tracks ticket presales. But how the movie does after that, whether or not it'll become Hollywood's next billion-dollar blockbuster, comes down to what you might call a
tale as old as time.
True as it can be when it comes to the movie business.
You can sit and crunch all the numbers you want and come up with all the formulas and tracking and pre-sales and blah, blah, blah. A lot of this is a crapshoot.
That's Carrie Bible, an analyst at Exhibitor Relations. Beauty and the Beast's total box office all depends on whether or not the audience falls in love. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, anger at President Trump turns out to be a big business. Retail tracker NPD Group says Americans spent $6 million on sign-making supplies ahead of inauguration and Women's March demonstrations. Poster board sales jumped 33%. Markers and other supplies also saw increases. And there are indications some craft and office supply stores missed out on selling more. Many would-be protesters posted shots on social media of empty shelves in the lead-up to the marches as stores sold out. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. And I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.